Grace and peace to you in the name of him who is and was and is coming back, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you noticed how when people argue, they love to use a yes, but kind of reasoning to make their point? In politics, both a Tea Party conservative Republican and a liberal socialist Democrat will say, yes, I love my country, but vehemently disagree with how the other side is doing it. If you ask the candidates for our local school board, do you love our schools? I have no doubt they'd all say yes, but I'm angry at what the other side is saying or doing. No candidate would say, no citizen would say, no, I do not love my country, or no, I do not love my community schools. It's always yes, but. And we justify our stance that way, and we live in an argumentative but disagreeable peace. It's the way life works in a constitutional republic where we can actually speak our mind. There are those that think they can approach God the same way. Yes, I love God, they'll say, but I don't believe there's only one way to God. I think religion is good, but I don't think one religion is better than another. Or pursuing truth is good, but I don't believe anybody can know the truth completely. It's a fascinating thing hearing Jesus talk to such people in today's words from the Gospel of John and basically tell them, drop the yes, but, and just believe the truth about me and my Father, about salvation, and about Judgment Day. You might have noticed the phrase, amen, amen, as you heard this text read earlier. In an older version that was translated, verily, verily, I say unto thee. In a newer one, it came out, truly I tell you. This version just kept the words Jesus used because they stand out, even in the Greek text, as Aramaic words. Amen simply means truth or truly. It's like Jesus was getting people's attention in a way they could easily understand. There are three matters of truth he wants his hearers to get as being absolute truth with no but about it. Here's the first one. Amen, amen. The Son is doing his Father's will. You know, Jesus has always been a controversial figure. How could it be any different? Jesus was saying and doing things that were controversial. He had just finished using his almighty power to heal a sick, lame man on the Sabbath day, which in the eyes of the Jewish leaders was a no-no. He seemed so anti-establishment, and he was popular for it. He made them look bad. By this time, they really wanted him out of the way. We read, this is why the Jews tried all the more to kill him, because he was not merely breaking the Sabbath, but was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Do you hear the yes, but on their lips? Yes, we love God with all our heart, but we do not accept Jesus as his Son, the Messiah, come to earth. He's a fake. Have you noticed how many people do that today? It might remind you of Mark Twain's story, The Prince and the Pauper, where we are introduced to Prince Edward and a poor boy named Tom Canty. In the opening pages, they meet each other and discover that they look identical. Since each one is dissatisfied with his social situation, they decide to swap places and see what life's like from the other side. Tom takes on the life of Prince Edward, and Prince Edward adopts the life of the pauper, Tom. During the course of the novel, of course, King Henry dies, at which point Prince Edward becomes King of England. For the rest of the story, Edward has to convince others that he really is the legitimate king. All they see, of course, is a poor boy in rags. Many people had trouble spotting King Jesus in his day because they were looking for the trappings of royalty instead of a homeless prophet with a group of humble disciples around him. People still have a hard time with him. It hasn't changed. So they still need to hear Jesus say, amen, amen, I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Indeed, the Son does exactly what the Father does. In fact, Jesus says, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So many people, so many religions want to minimize Jesus, as did the Jews. They want to say, he's a good man, a great prophet, a wonderful humanitarian, the best of human beings. And in so doing, they are actually slapping him in the face. If they are saying anything less than, this is God's Son in the flesh from heaven, we worship him, then they are not only despising him, they are despising his Father in heaven. That is spiritual death. That's the first amen, amen. The Son is doing exactly his Father's will. Here's the second. Amen, amen. The Son gives eternal life. See how he got his skeptical enemies thinking even more. Amen, amen, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He is not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life. The problem with people is that their sinful nature has turned their heart toward base, fleshly things, things that have no lasting value. If we were to lay them out, our real heart's desire would include things that sparkle and shine, things that gratify what we want to have that have nothing to do with what God wants, things that put us in first place and put our neighbor and God himself way back in the rearview mirror. So when Jesus offers us something of real value, we don't get it. It's like watching a very young child open up his first birthday gift. And he gets far more engrossed in the crinkly wrapping paper than in the nice clothing his daddy and mommy got for him in the gift. Sinners get far more excited about stuff that excites them about this world, much of which is spiritually deadly and used by Satan to tempt them. They forget that Jesus comes to give them life. Life, what a gift. Not just the mechanics of staying alive, like food and water and clothing, like medicine and jobs and family and love, but the reality of being alive to God, of knowing God loves you, of being sure that your sins are not counted against you, of having a fire lit within your heart by the Holy Spirit, the fire of faith, and the boldness to believe that Judgment Day will not result in your terror, but in your great and lasting joy. That's the life of God's child. That's the joy of being alive to God right now. That's the reality of actually crossing over from death to spiritual life. We sometimes get the wrong idea that we have to wait to die to taste eternal life. But Jesus puts an end to that wrong idea by saying, "Believe in me, and you already have eternal life. You have crossed over from an existence of death to the blessedness of life." We see people all around us in this world who are like living dead, like walking corpses. Their hearts are beating, their bodies are still alive, but their souls are stone cold dead. For them, this sad world with all its pain and trouble is all there is. So they grab what they can in a desperate bid to find meaning and purpose. That's not you. Can you rejoice that God has made you alive eternally, that you already now rejoice that you can walk in grace, your sins forgiven, your life empowered to serve, your destiny in the heavens? There is no yes but about it. This is the new you. Praise God. And yet, it's also true that a day is coming when we will see our salvation completed. That leads us to our third amen, amen. The Son will raise the world from death and judge it. The message of Jesus has always been much more than just a hope-filled philosophy or comforting repetitions. It's about real-life events, events of the distant past and events of the future foretold. This world truly was created by God in 6 24-hour days. God truly did call Abraham as the father of believers. He truly chose Israel to be the bearer of his promise. He truly entered our world in Jesus Christ. He truly redeemed every human being from sin and death by his son's sacrifice. And now he promises a future day of judgment. Note what he says. Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, but those who have practiced evil will rise to be condemned. It's as if he's saying, you think it's strange that I, who look so human to you, can actually give spiritual life to spiritually dead people? Wait till you see what I do to the bodies of every human being on that last day. On a day known only to our God, Jesus will come back in the same way his disciples saw him ascend into heaven, visibly, so everyone can see him. Yet it will be far more glorious as he comes surrounded by all his holy angels. His voice will shake the world with the words, "Come out!" And all the bodies of all those who have died will come out of their graves, or the thousands of other places their ashes have been blown or rinsed by water. They will come again alive. The bones must obey the will of their Creator. Anyone who thought they could someday escape seeing Jesus by death or cremation will shudder to realize they are seeing him again face to face. And then comes the judgment. In a judge's court, the one who does good, who obeys the law, is commended. But the one who has broken the law is punished. And so it will be at the last day. Those who are considered innocent will rise to live forever in heaven with the angels. Those who are considered to be guilty will rise to be condemned to God's punishment in hell, a place, Peter says, was created as the everlasting prison for the devil and his angels. The specter of Judgment Day rightly causes the sinner to tremble. How can anyone stand in the presence of the holy God and Lord of all? How about you? Have you been good enough? The answer is no. But Jesus has. His holy life was given for you, the all-sufficient payment for all your sins. If your sins could be counted in cash and become a debt of $1 million against you, well then Jesus' righteousness is like someone paying the court 1,000 times as much for your fine. The books are opened. Your account is marked paid in full by Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the King says, come, take the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. All a free gift from the one that so many doubted as they said, yes, but him? Is there a yes but on your lips too, as Jesus calls you to believe in him? Is there a yes but in your heart as you hear his words about coming back to judge the world on the last day? Will you let Jesus' words drive away the yes but of your doubt and replace it with the thank you, Jesus, of a grateful and believing heart? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless in the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now, and to all eternity. Amen.